Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to The Savage Nation. B.B. King and U2 from an old tune, When Love Comes to Town. God, I should be his energy level when I'm his age, right? And the guy has chronic diabetes, and he performs 300 nights or 200 nights a year. Unbelievable, the spirit of man. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, is the saying that I kind of like right now. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. And so I have been experimenting with a new show for a few days, weeks. My newest experiment is Unprotected Talk, which we trademarked today. So you won't be hearing it on any other show, so far as I can tell. First of all, they're on vacation. But I'm getting rave reviews from the people that matter. You. Here's an email I had received after I started this. And the phone number is 855-400-7282. You better grab a line right now, because they'll be jammed out for three straight hours. And the beauty of Unprotected Talk, as you know, is people are listening to find out what the next caller is going to say, because they don't know. What happens with radio is that if we get locked on a single topic or we get monotonous, you know, you listen to it and turn it off. But I'm figuring if I get bored, you get bored. And since the worst thing for me in life is boredom, well, not the worst, amongst the worst things for me in life is boredom. The rest is my business. Boredom is one of the worst things that I suffer through ever since I've been a kid with ADD undiagnosed. And because I was undiagnosed with ADD, I've been able to write 30 books, earn three higher degrees, and have a great family. See, had I been treated by the whack jobs in the medical profession as a young child, I'd probably be an ordinary moron on medication. Here's an email from Swiss America Gold, the owner of it, Craig Smith, who's really he's one of the few people who advertises on the show, listens to the show. And he said this, he said, Mike, your Unprotected Talk has been fascinating. There are moments where you get so close to your audience, it is as though they feel they're in the living room talking to you. Yesterday, as you were telling stories of your friend's mother getting amphetamine shots from Dr. Feelgood, or when his dad started fighting with him, unbelievable. Your show is refreshing, new, inventive, creative, and most of all, savage at his best. Happy New Year to you and the family. May we see 2015 be the best year of your life. I hope so. I hope so. But the thing is, I've got to enjoy my show, so that's why I'm doing this. It's different than open mic to mic. Remember that. Open mic to mic is screen calls. These are not screened. But in order to keep Robert employed, we're just having him put your, telling you to turn the radio down and listen on the phone. So let's look at the news before I take your calls. And of course, the big news is that the down plane has been found. And in a strange way, I'm going to tell you something. My first reaction was, well, I'm glad they found it. Would you believe it? They found the plane. And so I said, oh, thank God they found the plane. That's a weird reaction, isn't it? But after two went missing, well, we don't know why the one went down over Ukraine. Was it the Ukrainians trying to blame the Russians? Was it the Russians trying to blame the Ukrainians? And then the other one that disappeared that hasn't been found. I mean, if it was the third one, the people, you can't live with this. So my first reaction, or emotional reaction, was, okay, I'm glad they found it. Not that I'm glad I know that they're dead. Don't misinterpret me. So that was number one. Now, the Sony hack, they say, was a result of laid-off staff. You know what I think? I don't think so. I think it was a PR stunt by Sony. I think they had a bomb of a movie. I think that the reviews that they ran in advance, you know, the little tests they ran were not good. Now, if it turns out that the Sony company itself did this, and I have no way to know that, they should be arrested by the FBI, whatever it is, the Federal Bureau of Obama, FBO. The Federal Bureau of Obama should arrest the entire Sony management staff if it turns out that they did this as a stunt. Let's see now. Bush released from hospital. Good luck. Arctic cold grips California. It is. It's amazingly cold. I love it. Why? What are we shaking for? It's not the first time. There's been snow up here on Mount Tamalpais ever since I've been living here 40 years ago. But everything has to turn into a story about weather. When did weather become a story? When? When did this become a story that it's cold this winter and windy? Whatever. I'm reading the headlines on the Drudge Report, then I'll go to my website, then I'll go to the Fox News, and then Newsmax, WorldNet Daily, and that'll be it. There's nothing else to look at. We're going to look at Wolf Blitzer's website. You know what the Wolf Blitzer CNN website is? Cops bad, shoot other unarmed minority. Global warming responsible for death of listenership on CNN. Delta flight delayed after Orthodox Jews refused to sit next to women. That pissed me off. I am sick and tired of religious bigots. I don't care what religion they are. They should have thrown these bums off the plane. What, are they holy because they wear black clothing? Throw them off the plane! What are you putting up with this garbage from the 4th century? You hear this story or not? A Delta Airlines flight from New York's JFK to Israel was delayed by half an hour when a group of ultra-Orthodox Jewish men refused to sit next to female passengers. Delta Flight 468 down for Tel Aviv's Ben-Gurion was reportedly held up due to several Haredi passengers refusing to sit in their assigned seats, which are in between two women. I wouldn't complain. I have someone to talk to. I mean, let me ask you something. If you had a choice to sit between two women on a 12-hour flight or between two religious Jews, who would you pick? Tell me who would give you a better conversation. The two women? Where would your odds be better? The day was prolonged the delay when two female passengers involved reportedly refused to move to accommodate the men's request. I throw them off. The women were right for not getting up. Absolutely right. So according to the article, which is false, by the way, they smear all ultra-Orthodox Jews. It says ultra-Orthodox Jews cannot touch members of the opposite sex unless they are close relatives of us. That's true. But if you got a bunch of nuts, religious nuts, living in the 4th century, who are trying to impose their bigotry on a general secular population, you tell them, look, either you take your seat, Johnny, or take a walk, one or the other. Okay? Take a seat or take a walk, goodbye. That's my opinion. If we start accommodating every religious nut, that's the end of the world as we know it. It's that simple. Now, so I sent this question to a religious Jew that I know. He's a nice guy. And I said, does your sect do this? And he said, no. He said, not amongst the Lubavitch Hasidim. And listen to what he says. He says, there is a Jewish law that says a man should not pass or sit between two women. I don't know what that's about. Who wrote that? Not really. What do you mean? Why can't you pass between two women? How could that be a religious law? What if it's your mother and your sister? Would you have to, like, walk around them or fly over them? What, do you got a cape? But if you have no choice, and also by one making us think about it will cause a desecration of God's name, you should just sit there or change places in a way not to desecrate God's name. And he says, clearly, if you hold a plane of hundreds of people, you are making a desecration of God's name. So I said, thank God your sect doesn't do that. Who are these idiots who does this? I don't know. I wouldn't tolerate it. Not in a secular world. It's that simple. It's a headline. That's all. What else is in the news? Let's go to the MichaelSavage.com website now and see what's in the news while you're calling. We're sold out already. Top right, MichaelSavage.com. Savage, we may have to form a conservative Occupy movement to save America. It's a pretty good statement. Next story, ISIS using barbaric device to torture breastfeeding mothers. A bear trap-like device called a biter was put on the woman's breast. Listen to this, because her veil wasn't hiding her face enough. Why are we not wiping them off the planet? Why have these vermin not been eliminated from the planet? You know that this is a holocaust going on in front of our eyes? And you know what kills me the most? You know how many... Well, let me be a little, let me back off a little. I don't want to get too extreme about this. All through the 50s, I used to hear Jewish men say that the Americans did nothing during the Holocaust. They could have bombed the railway lines to Auschwitz. And I said, well, what would you do? Don't worry if it ever happens. Well, here it's happening in front of your eyes. Not one Jewish group that I know of has said one word about the persecution of the Yazidis or of the Christians. And shame on you! Shame on you if you're only for yourself. That's why I have nothing to do with professional religious organizations. They're all the same to me. They're nothing but politicians grabbing what they can for themselves. It goes back to what my father said. If it ain't nailed down, they'll steal it. It occurs in our society from the smallest to the highest level. Let's say you're a poor person living in a really bad ghetto. I'm sorry you can't use that word. I don't know what the current word is. Let's say a ghetto in Baltimore. And you're a poor black kid. And you're basically to walk out of the house for the day. You got to fight for your life to avoid getting shot or held up or robbed, whatever. What is that about? It's survival of the meanest, survival of the fittest. Now let's take it all the way up the scale to senators sitting on the most powerful committees whose husbands or wives make money off the inside knowledge that you have, insider trading. Contracts are steered their way, etc. That's not the same as robbing someone in the street. So human nature is by nature pretty awful. And you need a series of just laws to rein in the worst instincts of human beings, right? So when you have a government like this under Obama, where he looks the other way to permit his Democrat cronies to profit in ways that King Midas could never have dreamed, with false contracts, fake contracts, loans. I'll give you one example after another. Say Solyndra, where'd that $500 million go? And that's chump change. Talk about the Arizona, or the talk about the energy company that got over $1.2 billion to build a solar plant in the Las Vegas desert that hasn't produced a kilowatt. Fine, trace that one down. How about the $180 million loan that was given to an insurance company in the Midwest to create an Obamacare insurer that went bankrupt? Where'd that money go? Guess the FBI is looking to see if you have a sawed-off brain or something. They're not looking into those stories. This is all thievery. We're living in the most corrupt times in American history that in my life. We're living through the most corrupt government in American history. And the thing is, they own the media because they own Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer. And the others, you know, on Blitzer, on Dancer, whatever, they're all the same. They're Santa's reindeers. Imagine a sleigh in the sky pulling Obama around. And instead of reindeer, put Wolf Blitzer's face on one of the deer. Put, Jake Tapper on another reindeer's body. And then just pick 6 or 10 people in the media. That's what goes on today. So we have unprotected talk on the Savage Nation. I'm going to do the talking. You're going to do the talking. We're going to do the listening. We're going to have a wonderful time again, unprotected talk. And as I say, we trademarked it today. It's pretty good. More than 90% of illegals from summer surge skipped hearings, but he doesn't care. He's busy golfing. Iranian general says Obama and the EU leader should convert to Islam for peace. I expect any day Obama could do that. Go back to his roots. The Iranian general said Obama and the EU leader should convert to Islam for peace. This is after Obama sent out a peace feeler to the terrorists. What else is in the news? Polish pimps tattoo prostitutes as property. It's a crazy story. I saw it on the Daily News. I had to link it to my website. British Airways recruiting more female pilots than ever before. Revolutionary Communist Party providing Ferguson protest signs across the country. No kidding. No kidding. It's the Communist Party USA. Gee, I thought it was downtrodden minorities. There's a lot more news. Fur vendors throw bleach on protesters and slash a child. I covered that yesterday. What else is in the news? Savage warns that Putin is being backed into a corner under Obama's thumb. Don't understand what he's likely to do. I do. They have no idea. The sorority running America is so naive and so out of touch with reality that they'll reach out to Iran and then they get a message back, convert to Islam. And they push Putin in a corner thinking he's going to knuckle under to a bunch of knuckleheads from Brandeis University. Those are some of the headlines. Now let's go to another website for more to agitate you a little further. Here's now Fox News. It wasn't Kim. Firm briefs FBI on theory Sony hack was inside job. I covered that already. Boston cops attacked. This is a terrible story. Two officers were kicked and punched during an arrest. Of course, they don't describe the youth who did it, because they don't look like Timothy McVeigh. Two Boston police officers were hospitalized after they were kicked, punched, or choked by six teenagers related to a person they were arresting, authorities said. No pictures, no description. The officers, a woman and a man. Well, there's your answer right there. Would they have like a 4'9" woman cop and then a regular cop, a normal 6'5" cop, male cop? All right, put your hands up. Get them hands up in them cuffs. went to an apartment in the city's Roxbury neighborhood on Monday morning to serve a warrant on a 19-year-old man. And then seven people attacked him, mainly teenage girls, ages 13, 14, 15, and 16. They attacked the police and gave him a good beating. Cops did not even pull their guns because they're intimidated now. As a result of Al Sharpton, Mayor DiBlodio, Barack Obama, and Eric Holder, the police are now intimidated. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation. Unprotected talk. Don't call the number. We're sold out from the get-go now. Here's like not a news story. Alert issued after adult film actor contracts HIV during film shoot. That's a news story? I mean, that's shocking. A man in male porno came down with AIDS after sleeping with several other male actors during two separate porno film shoots? That's a real shocking story. I mean, you wouldn't expect that, would you? No, that's how could you put two and two together? California public health officials, that's unto itself an oxymoronic series of words, issued an alert Monday after finding, quote, very strong evidence that an adult film actor, that unto itself, what a word, became infected with HIV as a result of unprotected sex on an out-of-state film shoot. Now you have to read on to find out it was sex with several other male actors. He was negative before the shoot. One other actor from the second shoot has since been tested. Notice they've changed everything. Now, all the language has changed. Film actors, actors, second shoot. It's friggin' pornography! It's porno! It's guys with multiple sex partners! How could the children ever learn anything with language being perverted like this?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
34 minutes after the hour, when love comes to town. Don't confuse love with pornography. They're not even in the same genus. Unbelievable to me. And by the way, the AIDS foundations agree with me. They agree with me. Don't make me out to be what I'm not. Here is Michael Weinstein, president of the Los Angeles-based AIDS Healthcare Foundation, and here's what he said. It's happened before, it's happened now, and it will happen in the future. The big lie the industry, meaning porn, has been saying all these years, there are no onset transmissions, has been proven to be untrue. And so the AIDS Healthcare Foundation championed an ordinance adopted by LA County voters in 2012 requiring actors in porno films to use condoms. But the vermin in the porn industry fought the ordinance, saying that having actors use condoms would interfere with the film's fantasy element by subjecting viewers to real-world concerns like pregnancy and STDs. So the vermin in the porn business moved their filmmaking out of the county over the last 2 years, and the number of verminous porn filmmakers applying for permits in L.A. County has declined sharply from 485 in 2012 to only 40 porno outfits in 2013. See what I'm saying about laws? Remember I said to you that my father said people will steal anything that's not nailed down? Without laws, rational laws, a society reverts to the jungle. So in this case, the AIDS Foundation said you got to use condoms when you're making porno films. So what do the people in the porn industry do? They move out to avoid having to use condoms. And what happens now? Another set of infections. So maybe that's a lesson for somebody. I don't know. I really don't know when the country is going to ever come back from the slide that it's in. I really don't know, and I can't fix it. That's a minor story compared to what's being done to Christians and Yazidis in the Middle East, and we're doing zero about it. Can you imagine if every church in this country and every synagogue in this country, the rabbis got up and talked about the torture and the murder and the enslavement of Christian and Yazidi women in the Middle East and how we must make the government step in and do something? Can you imagine what would happen if we had a viable Christian and Jewish conscience left in this country? Instead, they're all in on the immigration racket. seeing if they can get their hands into the billions of dollars being spread around by the Obama administration to provide services for the illegal aliens. At least it's one man's opinion. You don't like it, I can't help it. It's how I see the world. I'm just seeing the world my way. That's all. Okay, so let's go to the unprotected callers. Let's start with line four. Go ahead, please. Name and city. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm Mike. I'm from Queens.
Yeah, you're listening on WABC, I assume.
I am listening on WABC. However, they do cut you off in your last hour for some reason.
No, no, they don't cut me off. The show is only carried for 2 hours in some markets.
And I have to get it on KSFO where I work.
All right, well, what can I say? I'm glad I have 2 hours in New York and other places. So what's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to bring up, you were talking about the degradation of our society as a whole, and it's really concerning to me. I'm a Catholic person, a Catholic male, and I live in the city of New York. And what I've been seeing is complete and utter abject disregard for any type of morality whatsoever.
100% right. And it didn't start with Obama, but it's escalated under Obama. Do you notice that there's absolutely no vice squad anymore left in New York? Where's the vice squad of the NYPD? What are they looking into?
Well, I don't know what they're looking into, but I know what they are trying to do right now is get through a difficult time. But that being said, I want to bring it kind of back down to the people themselves. You recited a couple weeks ago T.S. Eliot, The Hollow Men, and people are really, really embodying that complete disillusion and complete utter disregard for anything.
Yeah, but they fill it up with entertainment, they fill it up with sports, they fill it up with drugs, alcohol, they fill it up with everything else. We understand that. And it didn't start with Obama, but you know that he's turned the blind eye to any moral issues. You know that.
And that's absolutely right. And the people really don't have any kind of role model to look for anymore. And it's not a surprise anymore that things like this are happening. And you can think about ancient Rome. I mean, are we ancient Rome? Is that what we're becoming now? Are we going?
I think ancient Rome would have been mild compared to America today.
And
the only thing missing are the arenas where Christians are thrown to the lions for the pagans to enjoy.
Absolutely.
That hasn't arrived yet. In terms of debauchery, can you name a more debauched society in America in the history of the world than this one?
No, I cannot. And just to give you an example, as a 25-year-old male that actually attends church every Sunday, I'm looked upon as if I was crazy.
Like a leper. You look like a leper, like you're the freak.
That's correct. It's almost as if when I'm, you know, among company and peers, I'm afraid to say it. You know,
You're laughed at, right? In the old days, the pervert would have been ostracized. Today, it's the Christian.
That's right. And
So, let's back up. It doesn't mean there aren't women out there who would love to meet you.
I hope that's true. It doesn't seem that way, especially
in
the city.
Well, look, I'm not a matchmaker, but you know that there are women dying to meet clean men like you. I mean, how else can I put it?
Well, I appreciate the compliment, but as it stands,
you're telling me in your church there are no social organizations for young people to meet?
Well, a lot of, like I said, I may be very devout and attending, but a lot of people that do attend aren't exactly involved with the process, maybe not internalizing what it means to actually attend. You know,
all right, but you can't expect the other person to match you in your commitment to your church. You have to find the best you can and do the best with what you can find and then try to bring the woman along to your way of thinking without forcing it down her throat. You've got to go into the relationship knowing that she may not go into the extremes that you do with your Catholicism.
Right. Well, I never considered...
I mean, you sound to me like you're a very spiritual guy, very close to almost wanting to be a priest is what I'm hearing.
Oh, well, I've attended, you know, Roman Catholic schools basically my entire life up till college. And I don't think there's any male that I know, especially from those I associated with, that didn't hear some sort of calling at some point. But as far as whether or not...
All right, but you don't want to be a priest. You want to get married and have a family. There's got to be women who want to meet you. So my advice to you is just look within the church. Don't look outside the church. And I thank you for the call. Line two, Unprotected Talk with Michael Savage. What's on your mind?
Hi, this is Mike calling from San Jose KSFO.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, man, I'm 37, grew up here in San Jose, and I'm a skateboarder all my life, and I used to smoke weed. And I couldn't agree with you more. I never understood at first when you would talk about how it's the most dangerous drug. After being off of it, I understand now what you mean by it.
Yeah, what I said 100 times, it's not a moral issue for me, not an ethical issue, not a preachy issue. It simply clouds the mind, and it's very dangerous to your lungs, to your other organs. I don't know how people can't put two and two together.
Yeah.
But aside from that, what made you kick marijuana? I don't want any more marijuana calls, but what made you kick marijuana?
My son being born 2 years ago.
Oh, thank you very much. You ask anyone who you know how their life has changed when they see their child, their first child. There's not a person on earth who's rational who doesn't say it changed their life for the better. Not a person on earth. I mean, who's rational. Especially men who are basically wild and free in their spirits. And say, oh, I don't want to get married, this and that. But once they get that child and they look at the baby, their protective instincts kick in. The DNA just kicks in. And all you want to do is protect the child and the wife. And in doing so, you realize that you're not at your best when you're stoned. Isn't that the process?
Amen, Savage. And I want to thank you. I mean, you're the one that really got me thinking about it.
Because there's no other voices. They all go along with the program. Once it was legalized, they're afraid to tell you what's really going on with this.
I know, it drives me nuts. I can't believe it, what's going on. And all the other topics, too, you know, your other callers, it blows my mind to see what's going on. And
well, all I can say is I'm glad that you're doing what's right for yourself and your family, and I'm glad I had an influence that's positive. He who saves a single life, it is as though he has saved the entire world. And that's what it comes down to. Line 8, you're up on the Savage Nation. City, please. What's your topic?
ABC Radio. I'm Paul. And I just wanted to compliment you for, if you'll allow me, for 5 seconds before I tell you what I wanted to impart to you. I admire and respect you for your humanity, humor, your education, intellect, and articulation.
Other than that, you don't like me.
And in one human being is amazing nowadays. Here's what I want to impart. I love culture, and one of the aspects is classical music. Uh-huh. I've been trying to impart this to you for almost 3 years. In February 2012, the New York Philharmonic had an Asian tour, which they do from time to time, and the last segment of it, in, of all places, Pyongyang, North Korea, was telecast on PBS. And in the intermission, the host and hostess were, of all people, Diane Sawyer and someone named Forrest. I forgot his second name. He was news people. And they had the nerve during the intermission to inject their anti-American sentiment and praising, to a point, North Korea. And I saw the faces in that audience after this beautiful music, American-based music, and they were like automatons. And what was so heartrending, Mike, was they showed a scene at the borderline fence between the two Koreas, and they showed grandparents from trapped in North Korea who hadn't seen their relatives for 50 years, grandparents, great-grandparents, to see their children. And the tears were just amazing to me. It was so heartbreaking.
Well, North Korea is a prison camp, probably the worst on the planet. We understand that. And I have a young man who works for my, you know, show, who's of South Korean heritage. And he tells me his mother escaped North Korea with the clothing on her back, coming over snow-capped mountains 35 years ago. She came to South Korea with nothing, and she to become an American citizen, she had to study the Constitution, she had to study the presidents and all of that. She's furious at what Obama's doing in terms of granting amnesty to people who don't even speak English. But that's a little aside from the point, but I'm not shocked to hear Diane Sawyer did that. After all, that's what she does. Diane Sawyer is a woman without a country, as far as I'm concerned, a classic internationalist who has no loyalty, will do anything for a story. She's not different than the others in that regard, don't you think?
Right. We just...
You know, if they had to lay down with the devil, they would do it in order to get a scoop. Okay. And that's my viewpoint. I'm sorry to be so blunt. You know, it's that time of the year. But, I mean, I really appreciate your kind sentiments and your listenership on ABC in New York. That opens up one line at 855-407-282. We're continuing with a little unprotected talk. Do we have the Leonard Cohen song yet?
Everybody knows.
Anyway, you know, the thing is, radio is a miracle. Just the medium itself is miraculous. You think of the electrons and the microphone, the cord. Up from here to an ISDN unit, down a line to Dallas. From Dallas on a... Are you on a satellite linkage to Manhattan, to New York? Is that where you go direct? Okay, so you go on another line to New York. Out of New York, they throw it up on a satellite. The satellite projects it back down, and stations can pick it up. All in what? A microsecond? As I speak, there's no time delay. It's a miracle to me. See, I'm still a child in a candy store or a toy store with radio. And the day it ceases to be miraculous to me is the day I won't even really want to do radio anymore. I'll just walk on a beach somewhere in Boca Raton with a white hat and throw seashells around the beach or something. Because it has to have magic for it to be good. And you know that you hear the magic in my voice. You know that I'm still like a kid enjoying himself on the radio. I mean, there are people, 20, who have lost that magic. And you can't let yourself become jaded. There's no secret for regaining. I'm almost going to use a word that's not appropriate, which is innocence. You know, but in a strange way, I'm naive. In a strange way, I, Michael Savage, as worldly and as cynical as I may sound, I think there's a part of me that's super naive. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Welcome back to the Savage Nation, where unprotected talk is the new modus operandi, and we're going to take your calls right now. Line 5, you're on the Savage Nation. City, please.
Hello?
Yes, name and city. What's your name? What's your city?
What city am I from?
Quickly. I have a minute only.
Okay. I just have one complaint. I've been listening to news, broadcasts, the radio and TV for a year, and the biggest complaint I have is the female broadcasters, not the content of their speech or anything, but their voices are shrill, nasal, and painful to listen to.
Yeah, you know, I have another woman friend who said the same thing.
Oh, it's awful.
She can't take the screeching of the women.
Oh, it's awful. I don't know why they're hired.
Well, I'll give you an answer. Look at Fox News. You think they're hired for their brains?
Well, their legs, maybe, but I can't listen.
Well, that's all. That's all sex sells? What do you think, Roger Ailes is stupid?
Yeah.
If they put Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper in skirts, maybe they could increase their ratings. I don't know. Maybe that's the problem, is that Wolf isn't in a Scottish kilt. Well, there is lox, salmon, smoked salmon. I'm trying to make the connection. Wolf could wear a kilt. I'm not making any kind of derogatory statement. Just to do the Zeitgeist connection. Wolf Blitzer, lox, smoked salmon, Scottish salmon, kilt. It's not so bad. I mean, you could follow the bouncing idea, can't you? I'll be right back. Be here and be nowhere with great music and unprotected talk.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
One of those songs that sticks with you. I don't care what age you are. There were kids 16 listening to this show who loved this song, would you believe it? Which they first heard on The Savage Nation. It was big when I was a kid. It's very, one of those things just gets in your head, you can't get it out. Anyway, heavy is the head that wears the crown. That's me. I have a heavy head today. And the crown is getting heavier by the day. But we're doing something new called Unprotected Talk. If you've not heard it yet, you're going to enjoy it. Because it isn't cute. It's real. It's more real than my show has ever been. And it's more interesting than my show has ever been. It's more immediate than my show has ever been. And it's guaranteed to make you listen an extra 15 minutes a day because you get addicted. It gets stuck in your head like, okay, let me listen to one more caller because you don't know what the person's going to say. And for that reason alone, I'm enjoying it because I don't know what the person's going to say. And I don't know where it's going to go. Now, remember how quick on the draw I have to be. Because I don't know what they're going to say, I have to be prepared to respond. So I have no script. I have no net. I just have my brain. So let's go to the callers. Line 7, you're on the Savage Nation. Name and city, please.
Helen from Waxahachie, Texas.
And you're listening on, are you listening on BAP in Dallas?
Yes, I am.
All right, ma'am. What's on your mind?
Well, I called about the Pope. I'm a Catholic, Hispanic, born here in America with 4 kids. And I'm taking them to church every Sunday, just like I have been for the 28 years that I've had these kids. And I'm taking them through all the, you know, the rituals that they go through for Catholic. I'm sick about what the Pope's doing, but that's not going to change, you know, how I feel about my religion, and it's not going to change how I raise my children.
I agree with you. The Pope is only a man, and in this case, he's an extreme radical, a leftist by any definition, sort of like a university president in America's Northeast. He could just as soon be the president of Harvard University. How could he come out in such favor of global warming actions when we know that it's not hard science? It's not hard science, but aside from that, what does it have to do with the church?
I don't know, but I mean, our priest is preaching the same thing that they've been preaching for the last 200, 300, or however long.
Well, that's what religion should be. It should remain ossified, as far as I'm concerned. I don't believe religion should continuously evolve. I mean, it should evolve past killing people that don't believe in their doctrines, yes. But after that I mean, the religion is stuck in its doxies. Good. That's what it is. And that's where it should be. The rituals should remain. They keep people stable.
And religion starts at the home anyway. And as long as I teach my children what's right, I know that they are going to continue on the path, you know, to be good adults.
Well, you can only hope so. That's all you can do. You set the birds free from the nest, and they're free to fly. You don't know where they're going to go. All you can do is give them the internal compass and pray to God they stay on course. And I thank you for that call. That's nicely put, Michael. I get a gold star for that saying. Very, very. No, I like. Did you like that, guys? That was good. No, you give them an internal compass. That's what a religious upbringing does. That's values. See, what happens today is the kids are told, oh, if it feels good, do it. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. We don't want to impose any values on you. You know, just be free. You know how the kids wind up? Look at Hollywood. Look at those poor children in Hollywood. The parents give them like a single name, not even a last name. Like, here's my daughter, Dust. And here's my son, Rust. And that's it. The kids don't know who they are, so they go to drugs, etc. And it's because they have no internal compass. Because the parents have no internal compass. And that requires hard work. Many of us are wild children ourselves. And then we get married and have children, and we have to take that wildness and put it on hold. We have to put it away, wrap it up, put it in an envelope, and mail it somewhere. And we have to put it aside for the sake of the children. And many of us are willing to do it, and many of us aren't, or just can't. And that's the story today. But when you have no church left in America with any, let's say, a single figure who speaks from the point of view of morality or such, or ethics, no one knows which way to turn anymore. So where do they get their guidance from? Look, I'm going to stop at the religion in a minute. To me, all religions boil down to one statement. I don't care what you are. It is this: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That applies to every religion on earth except one. And I think you know which one that is, the one that tortures and maims, that puts women in slavery in the name of their religion, beheads people in the name of their religion. So it's something that the world should snuff out. The members of that religion who are practicing this form of insanity are not religious per se. They have no right to be protected by the First Amendment. They have no right to their religion because it's not a religion. It's just a call to kill. And so therefore, those elements within that religion who continue to torture and maim and enslave and rape in the name of their religion are no different than anyone who would take your religion and say, I'm going to rape in the name of my religion. Well, they'd be arrested as a rapist, wouldn't they? Can't hide behind religion. But they get a pass from CNN. They get a pass from Phil Griffin at MSNBC after 7 years. MSNBC, as we all know, is the laughing stock of the media. Okay, I don't have to beat it up. It's beaten itself up. Their audience is lower, I think, all week than mine is in 1 minute on radio. I don't know what their numbers are. 548,000. And I love the demo they're using, 2+. I swear to God, nobody in the media uses 2+ as a demo. We all sell our advertising based on 2554. If you really want to get a feeling for your audience, you look at 12+. I never heard of a 2+. And yet I was reading an article in the New York Post today about MSNBC being in trouble and the jerk who runs it, Phil Griffin, who said this is the place to go to for progressive news. You hear? Well, how's that working out, Phil? Well, how's that worked out, Phil? 548,000 people, 2+. I think the next stop for Phil Griffin is Harvard University. The only way to save MSNBC is to gut MSNBC and turn it into something else entirely, because everyone knows it's a laughing stock. Who would put these children on? You know, it's not even their politics that bothers me when I do occasionally scan by it on the way to watching a Cartoon Network. The reason I have to watch MSNBC is I'm scanning upwards to hit MTV, and I pass by it and see their clown show. I'd rather watch South Park than MSNBC. At least it's a good laugh every once in a while, because it's not as sarcastic as they are. The thing I don't like about MSNBC is their sophomoric sarcasm. I mean, how long can we watch Rachel Maddow pretend that she's smarter than everybody with the like face, like she's talking to her friends at a sorority meeting where everyone's a dummy but them? It's a little too much of the sophomoric for me. I don't care about their politics. They're not my politics. But I could put up with it if it had a scintilla of intelligence. It doesn't. And the person to blame for that is Phil Griffin. It's time he was put out to pasture. 2+, 548,000. Meanwhile, in New York, there's a crime wave. New York Police Department arrests down 66%. NYPD traffic stops down 94%. New York Police Department disorderly arrests down 94%. Good for them. Good for them. I said if I were a cop, I'd go on strike. What would you do? I let the mayor go and police the city. Let him get his goon squad out of City Hall to go arrest the squeegee men and the minor criminals. Go ahead. He got himself in some hot water after preaching hatred for a year straight with on Obama's marching orders. And then the two cops got killed. They said, oh, how dare they? You know what really riled me over the weekend? The New York Times and the others come out with such pomposity saying the police had no right turning their back on the mayor. They had no right protesting. What do you mean they had no right? You mean your Occupy movement has a right? You mean the vermin in the streets of Ferguson have a right to burn and loot, and the police have no right to turn their backs on a bum mayor who shafted them? It just shows you how perverted their thinking is in these liberal bastions. No, the police have no right to protest. They have no right to turn their back on a bum mayor who's done everything he can to turn them into monsters. No, they have every right. So today, three NYPD union leaders presented a united front as they entered the police academy in Queens together for an unprecedented meeting with, I wouldn't call him his honor. I call him his dishonor. His dishonor. He should resign. He's wrecked that city. And the reason DiBlodio is wanting to meet the heads of all five police unions is because of the rank and file that turned their back on him. I guess his ego got it, huh? I guess his ego couldn't take it. Anyway, we'll see what comes as a result of this. I hope the police keep it up. I hope the police keep it up. I really do. And this is amazing to me that the head of the Revolutionary Communist Party would not take a break from their riots and protests even after the cops were killed. And the police are not allowed to arrest those members of the Revolutionary Communist Party, even when they commit crimes such as causing damage to property and people. Why? It's because of people like Holder and DiBlodio. It's that simple. The phone number here is 855-497-282, but please do not call the number because of the new format of unprotected talk. We are sold out. Let's go to line number one. Go ahead, please. City and state.
Hi, this is Tom from Queens, New York, WABC.
Bingo.
One of my pet peeves is I wish that cable TV, we could order our services a la carte. So these channels like MSNBC, who we don't care about, wouldn't get our funds. And then maybe their kind of drivel that they broadcast all the time.
Oh, you mean once you get the cable, let's say for Fox, you got to take them?
Well, sure, if that's your choice, yes. And then the people who would, you would pick all your channels, like I would not pick MTV, say. And none of my money would
That's interesting. You know, it's funny you should say that. I started watching HBO. I only paid for it when The Sopranos came along. I paid for it only for The Sopranos. But if I could, I would put an X through perhaps the most obnoxious of all hosts, the man with the least amount of intelligence. And that would be the talker. I forget his name. He's a, I don't remember the guy from Hollywood. Bill Maher. I would like not to receive him in my house when I'm scanning the dial. I don't want to see his absurd face.
Well, may I tell you something, Michael? When my kids were growing up in the 90s, I had MTV trapped out of my cable network. I called them up and I said, I don't want that drivel, that poison pumped into my household.
Yeah.
My kids want
But you couldn't cut that off alone, could you?
Yes, I could. They called it, in those days, a trap they would put it on, and that one channel wouldn't come in. But they still got my dollar. I still had to pay my bill, and some of the bill goes to MTV.
But you can block certain channels in within a cable service?
I'm talking about in the 90s now when it was...
Oh, those days are over. Those days. They would never let you do that today. Well, as long as you don't block the Savage Nation, I'm happy. Do you like... By the way, do you like the unprotected talk or not?
Show.
No, let me... Do you like my new concept of unprotected talk?
I like it very much because you seem to be enjoying yourself much more.
You see that? And look at the guys are clapping inside my Skype screen.
Uh-huh.
No, Jim... Jim and Robert, who run the show for me out of Dallas, I've never met them in the flesh, thank God. But when you said that, they said the same thing. They started to cheer in the studio. They said they feel better. They know my mood is better. I'm lighter. I have more energy. Why is that?
Well, it's because it's off topic. You don't know. You're shining right now because every call that comes up, you don't know what it's going to be. And
you know what it is? It frees my mind.
Yes.
Where I don't get trapped in a single topic for an hour, for example.
Exactly.
You know, it's why I'm reluctant to have fill-in hosts, because they'll take one topic and run it for 3 hours. They'll drive it into the beach. You know, and it's hard to teach them to do a thing like this. I don't know if they would. They're going to have to do it their own way. Well, thanks for listening on WABC. That opens up one line 5. Go ahead, please. Name and city and station.
Yeah. My name is Harry. I'm from Fort Lauderdale, and I'm listening to you on the Internet, Mike. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What's on your mind?
I have some advice for the forlorn men of America who are conservative, traditional, and have a hard time when they look out in the field of American women, who I consider to be other-directed as opposed to inner-directed. You touched on that theme earlier. And they're just plugged in to the mainframe. You can change their disposition, change their values. Just that seems like at any given moment.
wait, hold on. You mean you can change the values of the women?
Yeah. You've got National Organization of Women. You've got the whole university structure. You have the whole male guilt complex. You got Title IX. I mean, just women are favored. They're
well, it's a tough situation for a young man today with traditional values. I would agree with that. And I thank you for calling the Savage Nation. That opens up a line. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I am a plug-in, and I am updated. I have updated this plug-in called the Savage Nation. with unprotected talk. Every time I go on the computer, there's another plugin that needs updated. Click this, click that. Every night they're updating and this and changing the program. Check for updates. Do you want an update? No, I don't. Press this, and you press the wrong button, and they update you anyway. Can't someone stop them? How many updates do I need in one day? Unprotected talk on the Savage Nation Line 5. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi there. It's Kate from 94.9. I'm calling from Connecticut.
Yes, ma'am. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say, Dr. Savage, that without this unprotected talk, I never could have called and said, hey, I'm the one that sent you a picture of the groper, the grifter, and the malevolent trickster. The picture of a couple presidents and Hillary.
Yeah, but I never got the picture from the trickster. I never got the picture from the trickster. Where'd you send it to? My radio station?
I tweeted it to you on Twitter.
Yeah, here's the problem. I have like a couple hundred thousand or whatever. I don't actually read them because I can't. I don't read the Twitter. I don't twit. I'm not a twit, but I thank you for twitting or twittering. I mean, birds twitter. People talk. What's with Twitter? A bird twitters in a tree. A person talks. That's all. 855-472-822. Talk, don't Twitter.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is a good time of the year. You know, everyone's away. I feel like I'm playing and there's no one. It's like a weird time. No one's on the radio. National hosts. I mean, no one. I mean, national hosts are all vacationing. I don't know why. I know they're listening to me out of jealousy that they didn't stay on the air, saying, why didn't I stay on the air? I hate being with my family. I really don't know what to admit. I don't want to be with my family. That's if they have one. They don't want to be with them. They'd much rather be in front of the microphone complaining about Obama. Putting down the Obama administration. How can you compare bashing Obama to enjoying yourself on the beach, you know, building up your skin cancer quotient? You know, I saw a study about this weak link between Viagra and melanoma, and I said, oh, come on. So I ran into an old friend, and he's a class action lawyer, which is why he's not really an old friend. So I stopped talking. I mean, I like him because he knew my father and mother, and I have the familial thing, but I don't like that he's a class action lawyer. So that we don't see each other a lot. I don't think he likes my politics. He loves my show. And I said to him, have you seen the putative link between Viagra and melanoma? He said, oh, I have. He said, yeah, we're suing the drug company. He said, well, how could you do that? I said, you know it's like a putative link. He said, doesn't matter. That's what we do for a living. I mean, think about that. There's no real evidence. It's a weak association. As a trained epidemiologist, there's no direct link between Viagra and increased rates of skin cancer. So what it really is, in my opinion, if you were to do a valid study, you'd have to eliminate what else do the men do who take Levitra, Cialis, Viagra? What else do they do that might have increased their rate or incidence of skin cancer? Well, you could say a lot of the men who do want to look younger, so they probably sit in the sun a lot. Now, that could be a link. Did they eliminate that variable in their study? I don't know. I mean, I looked at the studies. They're all very weak, and yet the media leapt all over it last May. Link between Viagra and skin cancer. Amazing story. So anyway, I mean, I'm not going to take Viagra calls. The Viagra jokes are old. They're boring. They're dead. Could give you a few that are funny, but that's 10 years out of date by now, right? That's over with. But it's an interesting study. I mean, 855-407-282. Let's see. What can we talk about? Bocce? That's on the rise now amongst the bowling and bocce. Rise of the Bay Area Activity Bar. Oh, that's really on top of the heap here. They've discovered bocce here. They always think they discover something. People have been playing it for 200 years, but they discovered it. When the Hollywood actresses suddenly got married and had children, they thought that their child was the first child that was ever born, like the Immaculate Conception. You ever notice that? No one had a child till they had a child. Unbelievable to me. Line 6, you're on the Savage Nation. Name your city and station, please.
Hi, Donna from Long Island.
Bingo. What's on your mind? And Donna from Long Island, what's on your mind?
Well, don't say that. I never say it like that.
Donna from Long Island. You're not from Long Island. You're from Long Island. Wait a minute. Long Guyland. Okay, got it. What's on your mind?
Oh, I never lived in Brooklyn. I'm a Suffolk County girl.
Well, Brooklyn's an area of the Short Guyland. Yeah, Brooklyn is Short Guyland. Long Guyland is Long Guyland. What's on your mind, Donna?
Well, if it wasn't for the fact of not watching television since 1997, I wouldn't have written 8 books.
Well, if it wasn't for me watching television since I'm 5, I wouldn't have written 29. So that's neither here nor there.
Well, my books are joke books. I don't know about you.
Mine aren't joke books. You see the difference? Television can help you with real serious books.
No. I heard that television can give you an education. No.
It can't? Oh, come on. You can't tell me television doesn't give people a great amount of entertainment value and a lot of education. It does.
Yeah.
Now, let's not argue over television. That was the first mini migraine I had yet today. That call, the television's no good. I couldn't live without it. When we get an electrical failure, I go into a panic state. A, because I don't know if my show is going to be transmitted out of the home studio. I have to run to another home studio. If that doesn't work, I have to go to another home studio. If that doesn't work, I have to go to a fourth home studio. If that doesn't work, I have to go to San Francisco to the radio station. So right now we have winds coming in out of the northeast that are awesome. See, northwest, sorry. We're getting a northwesterly blow here in the Bay Area, which is very unusual. And the waves are, looking at them right now, are 1 to 2s, 1 to 3s. And the wind is ferocious. I mean, the gulls are sitting there, amazing, miracle machines birds, right? They're floating in the air. They just float. They don't even get blown by the wind. How can they adjust their tail feathers and not get blown against the building? I don't understand it. How does God design such beautiful creatures? I remember when I was studying comparative anatomy in college, Queens College, when I took home the various bones of the various animals. The birds' bones were designed by God or evolved by nature, whichever you prefer, so that they're porous, somewhat semi-porous. They have holes in them. You ever looked at the bones of a bird? How hollow they are, that they're not a solid structure like our bones are, in order to make them lighter for flight? I was astounded at that. As a 16, 17-year-old, to learn that. And it makes you wonder about nature, creation, God, evolution. And then when you look at the bone structure of the bird or the amphibian and the mammal, and I used to take my arm and I used to put it up against my body and say, holy God, it's a similar bone structure. I mean, if you make your arm like a wing, it's a similar bone structure to a bird. How could you not see the clarity of the single design that God used for living creatures of the higher animals, right? It's amazing to me. And then I took home the pig once. I remember what happened in my house with that story. We were dissecting fetal pigs. And we used to take them home from the lab. Well, I don't know if you're supposed to, but I did, to work on it in my little teeny room on the second floor overlooking the bus stop. And it was preserved in formaldehyde, this teeny pig was, in a plastic bag. It was like an autopsy bag that they gave you from the laboratory. So I took it home and I stuffed it in the back of my mother's little refrigerator, regular refrigerator. And she had all the food, you know, and everything else, the different dishes, the fish and the chicken and the meat dishes and the like, I forget, like metal, glassware. She had it in glassware. So the next day my aunt came over. It must have been a holiday. And she was going through the refrigerator to pull a dish out to heat up for the women. And she screamed. I came running down from my little tiny room. What's the matter? Oh, what's this in the refrigerator? I said, don't worry about it. It's just a pig I'm looking at. It's anatomy. How could you bring this disgusting thing in the house? I said, what is disgusting? So it's like a ham sandwich with legs and eyes. What do you mean disgusting? What do you want from me? Not a big story, just the things that happened to kids. I look back on all these little, silly little things in your life. You know, they were funny in their own day. All right, let's move on. Let's see what's waiting for us in the caller bin. It's like pinball. Line 2, city and station, please.
Yes, Michael, my name is Richard, calling from the lands of fruits and nuts, and that's KSFO.
Oh, I'm getting a lot of local callers now, which I love. And what's on your mind, Richard?
Yes, Michael, my topic, you touched on a little while ago, and that's about the Kurdish people and the Yazidis and the Christians fighting ISIS. I'd really like to see you do a story on this down the road. They're the only ones that are really fighting ISIS. They're not getting much help from America, and the refugees there really, really need our help. I'm sure you've heard some of the stories. You got four Christian children, Yazidis, that watched their parents get killed by ISIS, and then ISIS threatened them to denounce Jesus and turn to Islam, and the children denied it, and they cut their heads off while they were alive.
Well, that didn't make it to the American newspapers, since they hate Christians and they seem to be in love with Islam.
Oh, no, not at all. But
why do the American atheists have such a contempt for Christianity and such a willingness to turn a blind eye to the Hitlers of our time? Why is that?
I can't answer that one.
Why are they so sensitive to Islam in its ISIS form and so incredibly hateful of Christianity? Why is that?
Well, they probably fear Islam and they don't fear Christianity.
All right.
But as I want to point out, Michael,
that answers the question.
People that are fighting over there, and there's some former American soldiers that are fighting over there. His name is Jordan Matson. I'm in contact with these people. And the women fighters over there are amazing. You've got to look it up on YouTube. But with ISIS, if you get killed by a man, you get your 72 virgins and you go to heaven. If you get killed by one of these women fighters, you go to hell.
Well, they're not a sexist group, are they?
Not at all. If I may I give out the name of a website where you can send donations to these Kurdish refugees?
Well, if it's a legitimate one, and that's always the problem, is there a legitimate website for Kurdish refugees?
Yes, it's very legitimate. I've already checked into it. It's called Hevasor, H-E-Y-V-A-S-O.
Whoa, that's complicated. What is it? Hey what?
Hevasor, H-E-Y-V-A-S-O-R.
Oh, you know, let me give them a little hint. They better change their website. I can't even remember it, let alone spell it, write it down, or send a donation. Can't we just say helpthekurds.com?
It's no, hey, HEYVASOR.com.
It sounds like halava, but okay. Thank you for the call. I hope that people do help the Kurds. It's not a laughing matter. It's a terrible tragedy, and it's sad that the churches and the synagogues in America do nothing for these poor people who are being so brutally, brutally decimated in the Middle East. We worry about things like here in this country that are so minor comparatively. It's unbelievable, you know? One killed, one injured in Berkeley shooting tied to pot robbery. Really? You mean people who are involved in that business shoot and kill? I thought they were all peace and loving. A man was killed and a woman was wounded in a shooting Monday night during an apparent medical marijuana robbery. Shooting up 19 Palo Alto, what was on the scene, reported two people were shot in their shotgun. Listen to this. The chief of police did not discuss a motive. They robbed a medical marijuana facility, but the genius running the police department did not discuss a motive. Responding officers told dispatchers that the shooting was the result of a robbery involving medical marijuana. Yeah, there's a lot of crime out there. You know, it's about money, greed. What are you going to do? 855-407-282, line one. You're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage. This is Donna calling from Frederick, Maryland, WMAL.
Yes, ma'am. And what's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind is you referred to yourself as naive. And when I heard that, I giggled because I thought, wow, you can take the man out of New York, but you can't take the New York out of the man. And I want to know, because I consider you brutally honest and I respect you, what on earth could you possibly be naive about?
The risk I put myself through every day by speaking the truth. Did you hear that one?
Yes, I did.
I put myself through every day by speaking the truth without thinking about the ramifications. When we have a group as gang-like as Holder and Obama, are you telling me that I'm not putting myself at risk by writing books about them? When I attack Dianne Feinstein for the harried and anti-American thing, creature that she is, for releasing that about the CIA at a time like this, the most powerful senator in America, you're telling me I'm not putting myself at risk? She's on the Senate Intelligence Committee. What could they create about me? What could she make up about me? So when I say naive, I guess I had a satori about it. You know, I mean, the thing is that anyone who tells the truth in this country is running a great risk.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. You've answered.
All right. Well, you wanted to know what I mean by naive. There it is. That's all I think about it. I said, well, maybe I should just think about it a little more before getting up in the morning. Or even when I attack Boehner and call him a drunk. He may be a drunk, but he's an awfully powerful drunk. I mean, the man is a danger, a clear and present danger to democracy. Him and McConnell, they think that they were elected. They weren't elected. We didn't go to the poll to elect them. We went to the polls to reject Obama, reject socialism, and elect hard conservatives to the Congress. And on their coattails were Boehner and McConnell. And guess what happened? Boehner and McConnell said, you went to the polls for us. Now tell me what has to happen. It's exactly what has to happen is what I said has to happen. We have to create an Occupy movement come January and start going into their offices. We need to be outside their offices, and we need to make them understand that they need to step down or step up. It's that simple. We cannot live with Boehner and McConnell behaving as though it's business as usual. So my latest newsletter says, Savage says we may have to form a conservative Occupy movement to save America from both Democrats and Republican leadership addicted to power, money, and big government. The American people, he warned, may have to adopt the extreme tactics of leftist activists if they wish to succeed. Savage said, on January, I'm going to start telling you what the Republicans need to do to save this country. I don't know if we can do it, but we'll try. I'll get back to this the minute I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. Savage Nation. So we got the race hustlers today. Back in the 60s and 70s, we had them. There was Malcolm X, H. Rapp Brown, Stokely Carmyle, Eldridge Cleaver. They were at war against the police. They were threatening the police on a regular basis. But who would have thought that a president and an attorney general would join forces with one of the lowest forms of human life, whatever his name is, Sharpton? How is it possible that the people don't rise up against an administration that is in essence based on race hustling? How could a president get away with this? So, you know, the other day I was in a Japanese restaurant and I was somewhat enjoying the meal in a corner. I try to ignore everyone if I can, knowing it's such a liberal community. White family, four kids, four parents, I don't know where they're. All of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, the father starts lecturing the son about the greatness of Malcolm X. I got up and left. I said, he's turning his son into a victim and a slave. Why would he lecture a little 9-year-old white boy about the wonders of Malcolm X, I ask myself. What is wrong with these liberals? Answer, liberalism is a mental disorder, and I pity the children of liberals. They're being bred for their own destruction. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome back to The Savage Nation. Unprotected talk is the new MO on The Savage Nation. I have no idea who you are, where you're calling from, or what's on your mind. I have no preparation, no anticipation, no perspiration. And so let's begin right now, not with the news, not with the views, not with the reviews, but with the callers. Line 3, you're up. Name and station, please.
I'm Kelly. I'm calling from Des Moines, Iowa, 98.3 The Torch, sir.
Yes, sir. You are on top of your game, and what's on your mind?
About 2 years ago, you asked people to call in and say why they listen to you. And I tried and tried, but now I'm with you now, and I can say it. And... It involves a short vignette from Aldous Huxley. And it goes like this, very short. Aldous Huxley could be found on the streets of London listening to a very fiery evangelical preacher. And people asked him, like, well, Aldous, what are you doing listening to this guy? And Aldous responded, well, because at least once a week I need to listen to a man who believes what he says. And that's you, Dr. Savage.
Well, I do believe what I say. It's not shtick. It's not an act. It's not a put-on. It is what I believe. I say it like it is from my point of view. Whether people follow it or want to believe it is their own. They have to follow their own belief system.
Yes, sir.
But the thing is this. I think that today we all need to hear reality talk, no matter where it comes from, no matter which side of the political spectrum. I don't mind listening to people who are telling the truth without a sort of false, you know, aura about it from the other side. I'll listen to them. I don't generally agree with them, but I want to hear it. If I think that they sincerely believe what they're saying, if they think it through, I say to myself, how could they actually believe what they're saying? How could they want to tear down this society knowing what would follow, the hell that would follow? How could they want to do that? Anyway, look, there's no point in overgeneralizing. I assume you've read most of Aldous's work?
Yes, I have, sir.
It's interesting. And what would you say is the most memorable of all of Aldous Huxley's writings?
Brave New World and everything from also the Fabian Socialist. I mean, you got to read all their works to understand what's going on. It's a guidepost to the future, really. Agreed.
So you see it for what it is, obviously.
Yes, I do.
The Cloven Method, the whole deal that Obama really was selected to take the football down the field of worldwide socialism and one world government.
Yes.
Without divulging more about yourself, what have you or what do you do for a profession?
Actually, I work in a greenhouse and I work in a phenotyping industry.
Phenotyping?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. Brave New World, the zygotes, the alphas, betas, gammas, and deltas. Do I ever remember that? Why is this world being run? Why is this world, wherever we turn, focusing on the words of the deltas? Can you explain that to me?
Oh, boy. That would.
I wanted to just test your circuitry. I mean, it looks to me like it's damaged zygotes wherever I turn.
Yes, I agree, Dr. Savage. In fact, I wish you could visit my greenhouses here in Des Moines, Iowa.
What do you grow in your greenhouses?
Basically, corn, maize, soybeans, wheat.
And what? And you're hybridizing or cloning rather?
Yes, we are. Yes, it's GMO, and don't apologize for it, but you know it's what we do.
No, I don't. I'm not one of those who think that technology is necessarily bad. I mean, all of modern agriculture and modern animal life has been hybridized in the most primitive manner through mating. So why not go the next step?
Yes, of course. Well, what I do with maize is basically just crossbreeding with different pollens and this and that. So. You know.
Yeah, but you're doing what the ancient Mesoamericans did. They took a common grass seed, and they kept selecting the grass seeds that were larger and growing them until eventually the modern corn evolved. They were doing it in the most primitive method of selecting, period, with their eyes.
That is true. I mean, the modern corn plant, we know now what to be the modern corn plant. It used to be like a very grassy tiller, nothing, you know.
Yes. So, in other words, modern technology is just moving at a more advanced speed.
This is true.
So where does that lead us with regard to cloning humans? What's happening with that world?
Oh, God in heaven. I look for transhumanism is the worst thing in the world. You'll see what happens.
Oh, I agree with you.
I know.
You talk about a Frankenstein. The doctor and the devils are in that one, too.
That's true. That is true.
And by the way, you raise the issue of Aldous Huxley, who was one of my great mentor heroes. When I first read Brave New World, I thought I had discovered the greatest genius in the history of the world. So I then read everything he ever wrote, including articles on furniture, which people don't know he was very interested in. And that's what opened me up to the idea that a brilliant man could also have interests outside of his own field. At that time, I thought a person had to be segmented in their thinking, you know, narrow-minded or tunnel-visioned. and only stick to their own field. But I found out that man was in interest were far more. So after he died, I was wanting to visit his widow, Laura Archera Huxley. Does her name ring a bell?
Yes, she does. Yes, sir.
Well, I am going through my journals from the 60s, and I found a few pages from 1967 or 66 or 7 when I went west, and I got permission to visit his widow, Laura Huxley. It was one of the great days of my life. I found pictures that I took at the house. Do you remember in one of Huxley's books he wrote about Juan, the young Mexican boy, how good-looking he was, like almost godlike in his appearance?
Yes, he did. That's right.
Well, I met the boy Juan. She introduced me to Juan. I have a picture of him. And he actually looks like from another world in terms of his beauty, plain beauty, right? And it was taken atop Mulholland Drive in a friend's house with a swimming pool. And I was mentioning to my family just 2 weeks ago when I was in L.A., as we were driving on Mulholland Drive, which is way up in the clouds above L.A., I said, do you realize what this looked like to a kid from New York in the 1960s who had never been out of New York, who never understood that people lived in houses on hills in California with swimming pools that were literally in the clouds? I felt as though I had gone to heaven. And they kind of didn't get it because we take this for granted today. But it was an astounding revelation for me to be in that house speaking with Laura Huxley about Aldous, and some interesting things were said about his views and about his views of the world. And, you know, he thought that there was another world. Remember that part of him where he thought that he could communicate from the next world?
Yes, yes.
I think it turned out all to be mythical. She said, I think it was all mythical.
It's so funny you say that, Dr. Zebich. I think I'd like to talk to you about more about this because my dad was a barber, actually. And you talk about your dad had this small place in Queens. And isn't it amazing how many people come from that point of view where we're just small-minded people, as they say?
Well, are we, though? Isn't the common man, is the common man that common?
Exactly.
Isn't the common man the man who built the world?
Amen. Of course it is.
Right, and wasn't it the common man who defeated Superman in World War II?
Of course it was.
And people forget that. The common man who the liberal elites sneer at are the people who saved the world and built the world.
Of course. And living here in flyover country, as they say, you know, people that hate us and they sneer at us, here we are.
And you're growing the corn that they use for their tacos.
Yeah.
Well, I get it. This is a kind of call that I would never expect, that could never have occurred before I developed the unprotected talk. I doubt, Robert, am I right? You probably never would have screened the call. Why wouldn't you have taken the caller? Come on the mic. Tell me, why would you have rejected him? I want my call screener to come on and say why you never would have gotten on the radio.
That would have been off topic. Off base of what we were talking about at the time.
Oh, in other words, I would have been stuck on a single topic and you wouldn't have taken him, not because he wasn't interesting inherently. I get it.
Exactly. Unliberated savage is a bad savage.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you. So, my friend from Iowa, thanks for playing with that corn and for calling the Savage Nation. It's now 16 minutes after the hour. See what happens here? See what happens with filtered talk, with unprotected talk. Really one open line right now at 855-407-2822. I invite you to grab it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Is the Savage Nation. We're doing unprotected talk for the rest of the day, and God's, I don't know how much longer we're going to do, maybe forever. Everybody is happy now. A world of genetically modified babies, boundless consumption, casual sex and drugs. How does Aldous Huxley's vision of a totalitarian future stand up 80 years after Brave New World was first published, asks Margaret Atwood. I found this article from 2007, published in The Guardian. And here's what she wrote. She said, in the latter half of the 20th century, two visionary books cast their shadows over our futures. One was George Orwell's 1949 novel, 1984, with its horrific vision of a brutal, mind-controlling totalitarian state. a book that gave us Big Brother and Thought Crime and Newspeak and The Memory Hole and a torture palace called The Ministry of Love and the discouraging spectacle of a boot grinding into the human face forever. The other was Aldous Huxley's Brave New World from 1932, which proposed a different and softer form of totalitarianism, one of conformity achieved through engineered bottle-grown babies and hypnotic persuasion rather than through brutality, of boundless consumption that keeps the wheels of production turning, and of officially enforced promiscuity that does away with sexual frustration, of a preordained caste system ranging from a highly intelligent managerial class to a subgroup of dim-witted serfs programmed to love their menial work, and of soma, a drug that confers instant bliss with no side effects. Which template would win? During the Cold War, 1984 seemed to have the edge. But when the Berlin Wall fell in 1989, pundits proclaimed the end of history. Shopping reigned triumphant, and there was already lots of quasi-soma percolating through society. True, promiscuity had taken a hit from AIDS, but on balance, we seemed to be in for a trivial, giggly, drug-enhanced spendorama. Brave New World was winning the race. Then she writes this. That picture, too, changed with the attack on New York's Twin Towers in 2001. Thought crime and the boot grinding into the human face could not be got rid of so easily after all. The Ministry of Love is back with us, it appears, though it's no longer limited to the lands behind the former Iron Curtain. The West has its own versions now. On the other hand, Brave New World hasn't gone away. Shopping malls stretch as far as the bulldozer can see. On the wilder fringes of the genetic engineering community, there are true believers prattling of the gene rich and the gene poor, Huxley's alphas and epsilons, and busily engaging in schemes for genetic enhancement, and to go one better than Brave New World for immortality. Would it be possible for both of these futures, the hard and the soft, to exist at the same time, in the same place, and what would that be like? She writes, surely it's time to look again at Brave New World and to examine its arguments for and against the totally planned society it describes in which, quote, everybody is happy now. What sort of happiness is on offer and what is the price we might pay to achieve it? It's a fascinating article. These two books influenced my life greatly, and I think it shapes my political views more so than I would like to believe. She asks an interesting question about utopia and literary utopias. She says, what do you do with people who don't endorse your views or fit in with your plans? Nathaniel Hawthorne, a disillusioned graduate of the real-life Brook Farm utopian scheme, pointed out that the Puritan founders of New England, who intended to build a new Jerusalem, began with a prison and a gibbet. Forced re-education, exile, and execution are the usual choices on offer in utopias for any who oppose the powers that be. Let me pause right there. That's exactly what radical Islam is. Forced re-education, execution, and exile. They're trying to create a Muslim utopia. So she says, it's rats in the eyes for you, as in 1984. If you won't love Big Brother, Brave New World has its own gentler punishments. For nonconformists, it's exile to Iceland, where man's final end can be discussed among like-minded intellects without pestering normal people in a sort of university, as it were. Well, I would say that today's exile is talk radio for us nonconformists, where we are exiled to a microphone, where we actually talk probably only to other like-minded individuals who are not like normal people in so many other ways. I would say talk radio is very much the Iceland of the American media landscape, wouldn't you guys? I would think so. So then she starts with this one. Utopias and dystopias from Plato's Republic on have had to cover the same basic ground that real societies do. We all have to answer the same questions. Where do people live? What do they eat? What do they wear? What do they do about sex and child rearing? Who has the power? Who does the work? How do citizens relate to nature? How does the economy function? And then she goes on to romantic utopias and what a utopia actually is. It's very interesting to see where the word utopia comes from. Many of us don't know the Greek origins, which are worth talking about at another time. But instead, I'll pause at that little juncture and go back to the opening statement. A world of genetically modified babies, boundless consumption, casual sex and drugs. How does Aldous Huxley's vision of a totalitarian future stand up 80 years after Brave New World was first published? I'll ask the same question that Margaret Atwood asked in that Guardian article in 1987, because we're all dreaming through this utopia of liberalism that has been created in the minds of the media and the government complex. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. We're having unprotected talk. I think that's going to change the structure a little bit. of the conversation. But again, there are no open lines, so I doubt that we're going to move that rapidly into this side of the conversation that quickly. But this is a good topic for, let's say, a whole hour on another day. And I would ask you, how does it stand up right now? Is everyone happy? Is everybody happy? Well, let's go back to where that came from. Is everybody happy? Oh, brave new world, it has such people in it. Stated by Miranda in Shakespeare's The Tempest. On first sighting the shipwrecked courtiers. Oh, brave new world, it has such people in it. Huxley probably foresaw the modern American society, where everyone is told there is a brave new world. All you need is Viagra.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
As described in Brave New World and in Huxley's books and Orwell's books, the great books that influenced so many of us and still influence many of us. And what the author wrote was very interesting. She said, it was Huxley's genius to present us to ourselves and all our ambiguity. Alone among the animals, we suffer from the future perfect tense. Rover the dog cannot imagine a future world of dogs in which all fleas will have been eliminated and doghood will finally have achieved its full glorious potential. But thanks to our uniquely structured languages, human beings can imagine such enhanced states for themselves, though they can also question their own grandiose constructions. It's pretty interesting. I was cut off at the end of the last segment when I said, all we need, we're led to believe that all we need for a perfect life is Viagra, Prozac, and Lipitor. You only heard the Viagra part of it. But that's the medical pharmaceutical establishment trying to tell us that all we need are chemicals for our happiness, Viagra, Prozac, and Lipitor, being, I think, the three dominant drugs for men. I don't know what they would be for women. I don't want to hazard that guess. But we read this. Sex is often center stage in utopias and dystopias. Who can do what? With which set of genital organs and with whom, being one of humanity's main preoccupations. That's a hell of a line. Because sex and procreation have been separated and women no longer give birth, the very idea is yuck-making to them. Sex has become a recreation. Little naked children carry on erotic play in the shrubberies so as to get a hand in early. Some women are sterile. They're called free Martins and perfectly nice girls, though a little whiskery. The others practice Malthusian drill, a form of birth control, and take, quote, pregnancy, surrogate, hormone treatments that they feel broody, and they sport sweet little faux leather fashionista cartridge belts crammed with contraceptives. If they slip up on their Malthusian drill, there's always the lovely pink glass abortion center. Huxley wrote this before the pill, but its advent brought his imagined sexual free-for-all a few steps closer. Pretty amazing when you consider when he wrote this and why it was so influential. I remember in his book, babies were no longer born. They were grown in hatcheries, their bottles moving along assembly lines in various types and batches, according to the needs of the hive, and fed on external secretion rather than milk. The word mother, so thoroughly worshipped by the Victorians, has become a shocking obscenity. And indiscriminate sex, which was a shocking obscenity for the Victorians, is now de rigueur. It's very interesting, but I've said the same on my show in another way, probably influenced to a certain extent by Huxley's view of the world, the post-Victorian world, which is that my message here in San Francisco is considered obscene. My message is considered more shocking than overt pornography to those who have debased our culture and civilization. Do you understand that? Why they detest my words? I am the father that they hate. I am the actual father figure they despise that they're running from. But as Orwell also wrote, something very few of you remember, he had started out as a socialist till he realized Stalin was a monster. He wrote that I hear people screaming, I am free, I am free, I am free. And he said, the louder they scream they are free, the louder I can hear their chains rattling. That one has always stuck with me. All of these occupiers and all of these other freedom types, they are the most enslaved people I've ever seen in my life. They're enslaved by their own hatred. Anyway, on to the callers on Unprotected Talk right here on the Savage Nation. Line 6, name and topic, please. Line 6, you're on the Savage Nation on Unprotected Talk. Not there. Line 3, you're up. Name and city. Give us your name and city, please.
I'm calling from WNFNC in Fayetteville. My name is Mary. Dr.
Yes, Mary.
Savage, you just speak the truth. Don't change anything that you talk about. It is absolute gospel.
Well, you know, we in this biz like to hear things like that. So you're not going to get an argument from me, young lady.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a young lady. I'm an old lady. And you were
no, you're young in spirit. You're young in spirit. I can hear it.
Oh,
well, thank you.
Okay. Well,
you know what? I love the diversity of the voices we're hearing on my show today, guys. Isn't it amazing? From the genetic engineer in that nursery up in the Midwest to the lady from Fayetteville. Isn't it a miracle for Americans to come together and talk with each other on a talk show, especially one that's running an unprotected talk segment? Line number 7, you're up on the Savage Nation. Give us your name and your topic, please.
Yes, sir. It's Brian from Bakersfield. And I spoke with you about 7 years or so ago, and you asked me what I did, and I told you I was a Catholic writer. And I still do that to some extent, but I have focused more lately on my singing and looking into starting a career. I've sung my entire life, practically.
Okay, but tell me what your question or comment is for the radio audience.
Well, at the time, you asked me to write to you, which I did. And quite candidly, I mentioned that I had Asperger's at the time, and I wondered if I had somehow put you off or offended you merely by mentioning that fact. But
No. I mean, certainly we know there's Asperger's syndrome. We know it exists.
Yes, sir.
But what exactly is the purpose of this call? Did you want to tell me that, or did you have something else to add?
No, I just wanted to reconnect with you.
All right. Well, we did, and I thank you. It's only been 7 years. It may take me a few more years to answer you, but the mail does stack. You got to understand. I mean, I don't answer mail. People bring me cartons of mail from the station. I can't answer them. I should have a staff that sends thank you cards. Like an Elvis Presley thing. I don't do it. And I apologize. I should send a little card with a picture of myself and Teddy. I'm just not set up for it. I'm not that organized. It's only 20 years that I'm in radio. Give me time yet. I'll get organized. Line number 9. You're on the Savage Nation. Tell us your name and your city and your topic. A blank job. See, this is the problem with the unprotected. Robert, you got to get them screened only to the point where they're ready to go. Line 2, you're up. Give us your name and your city and your topic, please. Okay, we're shooting blanks now. Okay, line 4, you're up on the Savage Nation. Name, city, topic. Go ahead, please. Line 4.
Cal from Marvelous Marin County on KSFO, the biggest little station in the world.
Right in my backyard, Cal. What's on your mind today?
Well, I got a 2-part message for the cop-hating creeps. Number 1, police, like all civil servants, would love to be idle, just cruising the beat. So if you don't want the cops to bother you, how about this? Don't do drugs. Don't sell drugs. Don't commit burglaries. Don't do carjacks. Don't rob people. You know, anyone can listen to a police scanner, any metro area in all of the United States, and they can listen to the litany of crimes that are gone on 24/7. So if you don't want the police to bother you, just quit doing all of that stuff, and let's all be work together in society like
But, Cal, you have to understand the people who are anti-police are fundamentally criminals, and they're useful idiot followers. You don't think, as I know, most of these rioters are drug gangs who want the police off their backs, who are using the guise of police brutality to make the police intimidated?
Well, for message number 2, quickly, if you don't mind, for the scumball brown shirts that shut the freeway down, the next time it's going to be your grandmother on the way to her dialysis machine, or perhaps your mother is injured at an accident at home and you need an ambulance to get to the interstate.
You're absolutely right. They don't care about that either. These are social, the word I'm seeking is too dirty for the radio. They're certainly out of the ken of society. They're criminals. And that's what the police were designed for, was to arrest them and put them in cages where they belong the next time they shut a freeway. But when you have spineless mayors, as we see with Mayor DiBlodio in New York, and we see with Mayor Kwan in Oakland, and we see with the mayor of San Francisco and the governor of California, the governor of New York, who turn a blind eye out of cowardice or actual support for these vermin, it falls upon the police themselves to do the right thing. And I think that they are doing the right thing in New York by not doing their job. If I were a cop, I would organize an absolute basic sick out and let the people come begging for the police.
On the subject of listening to your show, I've always wanted to mention this, if I could, in closing, as another caller mentioned it as well. And folks always go, oh, you listen to Savage. How can you possibly agree with him? And I would get a kick out of him saying, well, you know, I really don't listen to Dr. Savage because I agree with him. And they go, oh, why? Because he agrees with me. Thank you. Happy New Year.
That's well put. That's very funny. How can you listen to that man? He's not like us. He's not like one of us kind, sensitive, phony, two-faced pieces of liberalism. 855-407-2822. That opens up one line to the program. Let's go to line five. Line five, name and city and topic, please.
Hey, Michael. My name is Brandon. I'm in Houston, but I listen to KSFO on the iHeart app because I don't get it here right away. But a couple of things I wanted to mention. There was an attorney, a young attorney, that called one day and mentioned that you had two great shows back-to-back talking about punishment.
Oh, he was the young guy, 28, who said he's good-looking, he can meet many girls, but he has trouble because he had a strict upbringing, that one.
Right, yeah. I mean, and then he mentioned, yeah, the pornography on the next day and how it had screwed up relationships for him. I mean, he didn't have problems meeting, but he definitely had problems taking it to next levels.
All right. So are you calling because that call mirrors what you want to say?
Well, I'm calling because, you know, you kind of say things sarcastically, half-handedly or whatever, but there's a lot of truth to what you say. I mean, I'm not saying you minister or you allow things, but I mean, I was, like, in tears when that young man called because I've been in those same situations, and I just wanted to say, you know, you kind of, you know, make light sometimes of things that you do, and you've talked about, you know, hey, I'm kind of prophetic or whatever, but there is a lot of life to your words, man, and what you're doing to help.
Well, I didn't do those two shows out of sarcasm or to ridicule them, you know that.
No, absolutely. I want to let you know that there's a lot of people that take to heart things that you allow to come through the airwaves.
Oh, okay. What you're saying things in a reverse way. What you're trying to do is agree with me without actually agreeing with me or something like that.
Right.
So
no,
I think what you're saying is you're calling because you feel the way that young man feels, right?
Exactly. He was like, we were in the same vein. We both have dealt with.
Well, I can tell you this. If one person calls and says it, that means there are quite a few others out there who feel the same way. And at least you know you're not alone. I mean, that's something you should know, is that if your mind was ruined or warped by pornography and has affected your ability to relate to a woman sexually, don't think you're alone in that.
No, you're absolutely right.
No, and I don't have the answer for it. I do not. Not in an age of Brave New World where virtually what was a crime in my day is now considered the Holy Grail. You know, what do vice squads do in police departments in the USA today? Tell me what a vice squad would be doing today. I don't even know if they exist. What is there a vice officer anywhere in America listening to this show can call the program, grab one open line, and tell this country, do vice squads still exist, and what do they exist for? Gambling is legal. The drug squads are different than the vice squads, right? What's considered a vice anymore? What, voting Republican? Living at home with your wife and children is now a vice? Maybe you can be arrested by the government for staying at home with your wife and children. I don't know. What's a vice in this country today? I'd like to know what a vice squad does. Line 7, you're up on the Savage Nation. Name, city, and topic, please.
My name is...
Yeah, come on, speak up loudly. What's on your mind?
Hello, my name's Melanie, and I'm calling from Las Vegas.
Okay, and topic.
Well, I tried calling last week before the opening of that.
Right, but what's your topic now? Not last week. What is it now?
Well, it's the same thing. I think it was a publicity stunt that Sony pulled just to get more viewers to watch their show.
All right, so you agree with me that it might be Sony itself that did this?
Yes, I do.
Now they're saying it wasn't North Korea, that it was fired Sony workers. I don't believe that. I think the whole thing was a stunt. And if I were in the FBI, I'd investigate all their emails right now because I'd get to the bottom of it. And if it turns out it was a stunt by Hollywood and they turned the world upside down just to peddle a rotten movie and they almost set off a nuclear war, I think they should be punished for it.
So hashtag lie, yeah.
All right, well, you're not alone in that. Believe me, you're not alone in that. The minute I come back on the Savage Nation, we'll have time for a few more calls, and that'll be it for the three straight hours of the Savage Nation. In the interim, please listen to these very important messages. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Give me a faster one, will you, for the end of the show? Give me At the Hop or something. Listen, I trademarked, while he's looking for At the Hop, I trademarked this. My lawyer sent it to me today, Unprotected Talk. Standard character, C-mark. The literal element of the mark consists of unprotected talk. The applicant, Dr. Michael Savage, a citizen of the United States. I think it's very good. I think this is going to be a great piece of radio. And I'm tired of having all of my concepts and words ripped off on a regular basis. So, okay, play it, that's all. And that would be a perfect world for me. I'd be Hoagy Carmichael tonight for the next 6 hours. But I'm not Hoagy Carmichael. I may actually eat a hoagie, but there's no Carmichael in it. It's been fun. I want to thank you for listening. Remember, the word is show. Radio show. Not radio diatribe. Not radio republicanism. Not radio liberalism. Not radio progressivism. Radio show. Remember that. The element here is show business. Like no business. Like no business, you know. Good night and God bless America.
Savage.